Well, it is wonderful to be with you this morning. How many here have known somebody that you knew them pretty well, you knew them to be a pretty intelligent person, and yet they did something really, really dumb? Anybody here? Okay, good. So I'm not the only one. All right, I have a story for you. So years ago, when I was a newlywed still, I had a specific project I was working on, and I own my own construction company. So this one particular day, my wife came to me and said, "Hey, I would love to help you with this. We can get this done faster then, and we can spend time together and spend more time together later. It'll be great." And I said, "You're sure you want to help me with this?" And she said, "Yeah, I would love to." She came alongside. She was a champ about it. It was absolutely amazing. So I said, "Great, I would love to have your help. I need another set of hands anyways. This would be awesome." So she came on the job, and what we were doing was laying tile. So maybe you don't know all that's involved in laying tile, but how it works is there's typically one person that's putting the thin set down and laying the tiles in place and everything, and then there's another person doing the cut work. Now, if you've ever done tile cutting, typically it's done with a wet saw, and I had a wet saw. Now, how that works is the blade spins in some water, and to lubricate the blade so it doesn't get dull too fast. Now, it usually is a very wet job because you get soaked head to toe when you're doing the cutting with the saw. This was my wife's job this specific day. She was willing to do it. She was a champ about it. She was enduring it, you know, not complaining or anything. It was all going great. So she was the cut person, and I'm down on my knees laying the tile, very focused on what I'm doing, making sure everything's going straight and it's all laying out good. I'm moving along. And then about halfway through the project, she comes to me and says, "Hey, John, the saw just like stalled out on me and it's not working now and I don't know what to do." I said, "Okay, now this is what I should have done was given her my full attention and explain this, but I kind of half turn my head because I'm focused on what I'm doing. And I say, "Bethany, if you hit the reset button and take your time with it, it'll work perfectly. It does that sometimes." And so she says, "Okay." So she goes back out, hits the reset button. I hear the saw start up. Everything's working good. And a few minutes later, she comes back into the house and says, "John, I think the blade needs change because it was working fine, and now all of a sudden it's not working. It keeps stalling out on me, and I really think you should change the blade." And wisdom would have said in this moment, go with her, change the blade, do this. But instead, I half turned my head, and I said, "Bethany, it does that sometimes. If you hit the reset button and take your time, it'll work perfectly." And so she being a trooper in this situation, went back out, did it again, and now the time frame got shorter. You know, before it was a few minutes, now it's a couple minutes later. She comes back in and says, "John, the blade seems to be very dull now. It's not working right because it keeps stopping on me. I really would appreciate it if you could come and change the blade." And I was young and dumb, so please give me a pass in this, but I turned my head and I said, "Bethany, it does this sometimes. Hit the reset button, take your time, and it'll work." And so this time she doesn't respond. She just walks out, and I hear it start up again. It's all good. She comes in one last time and says, "John, the blade is not working. It needs to be changed." And again, I can sense the frustration in her voice, but because I was so focused on what I was doing and just laying out, I half turned my head again, said, "It does this sometimes. If you hit the reset button and really take your time, it will work." And so she doesn't say a word, but she walks out the door. So I'm laying out the tile. I'm continuing on here. And I get to a point where all of a sudden she stopped bringing me cut pieces. And I'm looking around and I'm at a standstill now because I don't have the next piece I need to continue on. So I go outside to see what happened, you know, see what's going on, because I'm stuck at this point. So I go out, and I look at the tile saw area, and she's nowhere to be seen over there. I look over in the driveway, and her car is gone at this point. She literally walked off the job on me. So now, good for her, right? She is a very patient woman to endure with me. But I have to admit, I hate telling this story because it's embarrassing to see how bad I was. But literally, she walked off the job, and I had the audacity to get upset about it. You know, I was grumbling to myself, and I'm like, I can't believe she walked off this job. She said she wanted to help me, and now she just left me here alone to do this. So I decide, okay, I need to continue on this project. I need to get this finished. So I go to use the tile saw. Literally, within 10 seconds of using the tile saw, I'm like, there's something wrong with this blade. So I go to my van and I rummage through for a few minutes. I find a new blade, I install it, and it worked perfectly after I took about the 10 minutes to do the change that needed done. She was right the entire time. Now, this whole story is kind of comical, and it's really ridiculous on my end. If they ever figure out the time machine, this is something I'll go back and slap that guy for, thinking this way and being that way. But I tell you this story not to, make myself look like an idiot, but rather to bring up a point, because actually this happened years ago, like I mentioned, and somewhat recently God spoke to me and reminded me of this story. And he was saying to me, John, there's areas in your life you're doing this same thing with me that you did to Bethany. And I want to tell you, I believe there's some people here that we're doing the same thing. We're so busy in our projects, in our little life, in the things that we're focusing on, that God's tapping us on the shoulder and saying, you need to focus on this. You need to change the blade. You need to do this over here. And we're saying, God, I'm really busy right now. I've got this project I'm working on. I don't have time to deal with that. And he's trying to help us, but we're ignoring him because we're so focused on the project rather than the relationship with him. And I can speak from experience in this, that it took years to build up that trust again with Bethany, that she would be willing to come and work on projects with me since then. And I'll tell you, we do very well now. We work on projects together again. I've become a much better listener. I still make mistakes, but much better than I was. But this is what God desires for us, is that we would divert our attention and focus on our relationship with him, rather than just on the task or our to-do list of things that we might even be doing for him. Now, there's a passage of scripture that I believe talks on this, and it's found in John chapter 15, and it's going to be up on the screens. I just want to read through verses 1 through 8, and I believe this ties in with this and focusing on the relationship with God rather than just our task list, our projects. So John 15, verses 1 through 8, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay, so there's a lot packed into here, and there's three things specifically that I want to draw out of this that I believe if we apply to our lives, if we choose to live by them, that it can help prevent some of these unnecessary failures, it can prevent burnout, it can keep us connected to God through the process of the experiences of this life that we go through. With that being said, the first one is that you've never arrived. There's this emphasis on this passage that it says, a branch that bears fruit, he prunes, and that he shaves back. So whether you got a lot of fruit or a little fruit, that the clippers are coming. Now, this can cause us to be afraid at times, but I want to assure you, God, when he prunes our lives, when he's taking things out, it's always for our benefit and our good in the end. It might be painful at times. It might be hard to sacrifice, to give things up. But it is always, always, always for our benefit, because God loves us and he cares about us and he wants what's best for us. The neat thing about this pruning process is that it can be accomplished in a lot of different things, a lot of different areas, that maybe we have a difficult person we're dealing with at work. That can be part of that pruning process. It could be an obstacle that we have to overcome or a difficult situation that we have to endure. These different things help prune us to bear the best fruit possible. Now, this passage, and I know the Bible in general uses a lot of agricultural terms because they were an agricultural society when it was written, so they got it right away. For us, we're a little removed from this at times. So I want to take a second and talk about this pruning process. the pruning process, I want to show you a picture. There's actually an apple tree, a picture of an apple tree here. Now, this apple tree has been well taken care of, and it's grown outward more than it has upward. And you see, if you look right at the top of it, there's a few branches sticking up in the air that have no fruit on them. What the pruning process would do is an apple farmer would come, and in the wintertime, actually, he's going to cut those branches off the top because a lot of that unnecessary energy is going up there, and it's taking away some of the energy that can be given to the fruit to make the fruit the best it can be, bigger, more flavorful, the best it can be. So I'm going to show you another picture, and now this is an unpruned apple tree. This happens to be in my yard, actually. Bethany and I, yeah, funny, right? Bethany and I bought a property a few years ago, and it had apple trees all over it, and there were a few apples on this property, or on these trees. Not many, but a few. And I actually had a professional pruner come in and look at the trees to discuss options of pruning them with him. And when he looked at it, he said, he explained to me that this tree had been neglected for dozens and dozens of years. And because of that, it's grown completely upward instead of outward. And now this year, I think if you look at that top left corner, you can't see it too well in the picture, but there's maybe two apples on that tree because it's been allowed to just grow without the pruning process being part of it. And what a picture of how our lives get if we refuse to allow God to do the pruning in it. That we become unfruitful, we just become all show and no substance, that there's nothing there to pick from, because if we don't allow God to come in with those clippers and prune us back to make the fruit abundant in our lives, we end up being not fruitful. We end up just being all leaves, all show and no substance. And this is not God's best for us. But when we allow him to come and do those difficult pruning times, it does wonders for the fruit in our lives, to make us fruitful, to make our lives more abundant in him. There's a verse in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 talk about it, that we're living sacrifices, that we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. The issue with a living sacrifice is that it can crawl off the altar, right? It can choose to not be a sacrifice anymore. And God gives us that choice. He's not going to go against our will to prune us. But as we submit to him, as we trust him and say, God, I give myself to you, have your way in my life, he says, all right, that means you've got to change this. You've got to adjust this. You got to tweak this because it's for your best that I'm doing this so you can bear much fruit. There's another verse, and my personal favorite verse, in Romans 8, 28, that says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. What this means is anything that comes against you, anything you endure, is not necessarily sent to you by God, but God can use it for your benefit and for his glory. That God can use any obstacle, any hardship, anything that comes against us to bring honor and glory to him and to be used in this pruning process to make us better rather than bitter if we'll submit to him and let him. So that's how that pruning works, and I hope that visual aid helped you with that. But he prunes you because he loves you and wants to see you at your best. I want you to always remember that when the pruning process comes, as painful as it can be, it's always because he loves you and wants what's best for you. Amen. All right. So our second point for today, and this one can be tough to swallow sometimes, but it's the fact that we can do nothing apart from Christ. Now, what makes it tough is some of us know people that maybe aren't saved, that aren't walking with God, and it seems like their life is pretty good. It seems like they've got it going on, that things are going great for them. And what Jesus is saying here, he uses this illustration that it's like a branch cut off from a tree. And again, being an agricultural society that it was written to, we don't always grasp it the same way. So put another way, in more modern terms, it's like an iPhone charger and an iPhone. If we're not connected, we might function and work for a few minutes, for a little while, but eventually that battery is going to die, and if it's not plugged back in, it's useless to anybody that has it. If that battery is dead, it's a useless tool, a useless device. Why didn't you say so, Jesus, right? But anyway, so it's the same concept, because when you remove a branch from a tree, at first it might still have the leaves on it. It might still even have fruit growing on it, and it looks good. but it's as good as dead. It's withering away. It's dying once it's removed from its life source. And that same concept applies to us, that we can do nothing apart from Christ, that if we're connected, if we're attached to him, which is what this concept of abiding with him is all about, that's when we can thrive. That's when we can bear much fruit. That's when we can bring honor and glory to God. Because abiding is all about maintaining communication with God. It's all about maintaining communication with God. When we're abiding with him, we're having those open conversations that we're talking and he's talking, he's speaking to us. And if you have struggle hearing from God, or maybe you're in this place and you're saying, yeah, I feel like I pray all the time and I'm not hearing back from God, we have an amazing resource that I believe back in March, we did a sermon series on tuning in. I believe it was March. It might have been April, but I believe it was March. And if you go to reachoutchurch.com and you listen to those series, it talks some practical steps on what to do to hear the voice of God on a regular basis. And it's an incredible resource. We've heard tremendous testimonies of people's lives who have been changed after applying those principles. So we don't have time to get into it today, but check that out. Again, reachoutchurch.com and the series of tuning in. It will bless you. But some of those things, and I want to say this carefully, because being connected requires relationship, not religion or regulation. Being connected requires that we be connected to God, that we focus on the relationship and not the rules and the regulations and the project. Just like I referred to that story with my wife, I was so focused on the project that I was neglecting the relationship, what was really important. And if we do this with God, we're going to come up short every time. We need to focus on the relationship with him. And the key to this, I believe, does require some practical steps. For instance, you know, if I brought flowers home for my wife every day, it would be nice for her at first, but if that's all I did and I neglected conversation, she would say, hey, the flowers are fine, but I would really like to talk to you some. Or just like if all I did was talk, she'd be like, you know what? I'd love it if you expressed your love a little bit. And it's the same in our relationship with God, that you know, we need to be spending time in prayer talking to him. We need to be spending time in the Word, discovering the heart of God and the language of heaven. We need to be spending time with other believers in fellowship to sharpen ourselves. We need to be doing spending time in worship. All of these things, acts of service, all these areas we need to be doing with our relationship with God. But it's all about being led by him, communicating with him, asking him what he desires us to do, where he desires us to be. Because it's about relationship and not religion or regulation. It's all about relationship. There's an amazing concept that other scriptures talk about. And this is a actual thing that takes place. And it's called grafting. And how grafting works is they take a branch from a tree or from another bush of some kind, and they go to another living vine, tree, you know, whatever. And what they do is they shave the end of the branch to take the bark off of it. And then they'll shave a portion of the tree trunk or another branch that's coming off of the tree that's still attached. And they'll put these branches together, and then they'll wrap them real tight, seal it up, wrap it real tight, and then they'll support it so wind can't knock it down and everything. And what happens is eventually that tree attaches to that new branch that was grafted into it, that was attached to it. And it's an amazing picture of how God wants to be with us, that he wants to take us, because maybe you feel disconnected. Maybe you feel like, hey, I'm that branch that's not plugged in right now. I'm not connected to God. I feel distant. I feel unfruitful. I feel out of energy with him. And he wants to bring you and graft you into that vine so that you can feel connected to him, so that you can know that you're part of the body, part of the life system of this tree as our illustration, you know, the life system of being part of the body of Christ. And he wants to take you, no matter how distant you feel you are, he wants to bring you and graft you into that tree, so you can be part of the family of God. That's his heart. And now our final point for today is when you are connected, you can approach God with confidence. And I love this, how the scripture talks about this. It says, when we're connected to God, we can approach him with absolute confidence, knowing that he loves us, he cares about us, and he wants what is best for us. Because often we as people, we feel like we've let God down. We've disappointed God when we make mistakes, when we take seasons of time to be disconnected. But God isn't focused on that. He wants to graft us and he wants to wrap his arms around us and say, welcome back, I've missed you. And that needs to be our heart as the body of Christ too, not to shame people, not to guilt trip them or anything like that, but rather to welcome them with open arms and saying, we missed you. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad that you decided to be part of the family of Christ. There's a verse that talks about this in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, and it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God's heart is that we find mercy and grace in his presence. And there is no room for shame, no room for guilt in his presence. You put that aside. And some of us, we restrict ourselves from running into his arms because of the things of our past. And God's saying, don't worry about that. There's a picture that I think we're going to throw up here, and it's one you may recognize. It's one of my favorite photographs, actually, and it's JFK sitting at his desk in the Oval Office and then his son playing underneath the desk. Some of you may have seen this before. And what I love about this picture is I feel like it illustrates the heart of God in such a clear way to me that this is the President of the United States. The average person does not have access to meet with him, to spend time with him, to be around him at all. And if they did, they'd be dressed up in their best, they'd be cleaned up, they'd do everything to try to present their best foot forward. And yet his child didn't care about dressing up, didn't care about combing his hair a special way, didn't care about being the best he could be. He just wanted to be around his dad. And he's in the office playing underneath the desk, just hanging out, spending time at the feet of his father. And this is a picture of the heart of God for us, that he says, you don't need to clean up your act. You don't need to be perfect. Just come as you are, and I'll help you get better. I will help you grow. And this is such a picture of the heart of God. But it requires time and sacrifice on our part. JFK's son could have been playing outside. He could have been playing in anywhere in that massive White House grounds. He could have been anywhere. Yet he chose to be in the presence of his father. Are we choosing, of all the places to go, to be in the presence of our father? Are we choosing to spend time at his feet, to let him help grow us up, to allow him to show us the ways to go? Because time spent with God is never a waste of time. It's never a waste of time to spend time in his presence, to spend time getting to know his heart, getting to know what he cares about so we can care about it too. And I believe so strongly that this is God's heart for us, is that we would be passionate about what he's passionate about, that we could just rush into his presence saying, God, I'm not perfect, but here I am. Take me and help me get better. Help me to be better. Because he doesn't care if your clothes are clean. He doesn't care if you've messed up yesterday or anything like that. He just wants you in his presence. And he will help you from there to be more like his son. You will only thrive when you remain connected to the source of your strength. That's the only way we can thrive in this life, is as we stay connected to the source of our strength. And we talked about some ways to do that, but it's all about that relationship. I'll revert back to the story that I opened with here with Bethany. Had I taken the time to just connect with her, just to focus on the relationship rather than the task at hand, that scenario would have played out much differently. Years later would have been much more pleasant for both of us had I not made that decision in that moment. Don't make those mistakes. Run into God's presence now. Focus on that relationship. I want to invite Gabby to come and play a song as we prepare to close. And I'll invite each and every person just to stand to your feet if you're able. And I want to challenge you today to be connected to God. And maybe you're here, and I believe there's some individuals here that you feel like that branch that's been severed from the tree. You feel like you're just... on your own, you're shriveling up, you're running out of energy, you maybe have been able to hold it together a little bit, but you're feeling the weight coming down on you. And God's saying, let me graft you back in today. Let me bring you back into my presence. Let me attach you back to the tree. Because I love you and I want you to bear much fruit for your benefit. Maybe you're here and you have some completely different prayer requests. I know we had an altar ministry already at the beginning of service, but I want to open it up just during this last song. If this message, if any of these areas are speaking to you or ministering to you, please come forward. We would love to minister and pray with you about this. And then we'll close right after this song.